Hello, everybody. Welcome to Group Chat, your weekly podcast for everything disability. Today, I'm
Hello.
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 And today, we're going to be interviewing Lisa Sherman, who is a story writer and film.
Hello.
Welcome to
Group Chat, your weekly podcast for everything disability. Today,
welcome to Joanne. Joanna.
And myself, David D. And today we're interviewing Lisa
Kerman.
So good. So good. Thank you very much for that, David. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Group Chat. Thank you very much for that, David. Welcome, everyone. Social justice.
Okay. Well, I did communications and media at Notre Dame, and I majored in film there. And while I was there, I got to an exchange in the US in Minnesota at a college called the Benedict St. John's, Minnesota. And one of the courses I did there was film studies, and it was great because I learned all about film theory, and I had a fantastic lecturer who was like an encyclopedia of movies. And when I finished my time there, I asked him for advice because I thought I really want to work in the film industry, but I didn't know how I would get there. And he suggested to me that I should go back to Sydney and find a course that would help me to develop my skills. So I did that. I found this course at this film studies, film school called Metro Screen, and they did a 6-month course all about filmmaking, like the different roles people have on set, and talked about different career pathways. And then at the end of that, I got offered an internship at Screen New South Wales, and I did that for a couple of months. And while I did that, I heard about Information and Cultural Exchange, which is this arts organisation in Western Sydney, and they were looking for filmmakers with disability to share their experiences. And I spoke to them about that and got in, and I made a short film with some friends, The Milky Pop Kids, which looked at the authentic casting of people with disabilities, because one of my co-writers, Emily Dash, and I, we're really passionate about that, having authentic stories on screen. And so that's really how it all started. And I think that it really aligns with my commitment to social justice, because I'm really passionate about finding ways to talk about difficult things. Like, while it can be great to live with a disability, it can also be quite challenging. And I think filmmaking gives you a great outlet to talk about those sorts of things because it's such a personal medium.
Interesting. In regards to the Milky Pop Kid, could you share the inspiration behind the short film and the impact it had, especially being recognized at prestigious film festivals like the Sydney Film Festival?
Well, like I had said, before I had started thinking about the concept of the Milky Pop Kid, my friend Emily Dash, who is a fantastic filmmaker and writer, we talked about how we were really frustrated about how often at the time we'd see actors being cast playing roles of people with disabilities, and we thought we'd really like to challenge that whole idea and just highlight the fact that there are so many actors with disabilities out there who just really need a chance to tell these kind of stories. And I think the impact that the Milky Pop Kid has had is that it's been part of that whole discussion of how important it is to have authentic stories of disability on screen. And it's been really lovely because we made the film in 2016, and it's just had its own little life from when it premiered at Sydney Film Festival in 2017. It's gone on to film festivals in New York, Vienna. So that's been really wonderful as well. Yeah.
Not going to be long. 2 minutes.
Yes, I think like the Milky Pop Kid, it's been part of that discussion. And I also think that the industry has really recognized it's
made a difference, the importance and they're starting to use people with disability instead.
Live with disabilities in those sorts of roles, in how it really adds an authenticity to those sorts of stories, because actors are able to reflect on their own experiences and be part of writers' rooms and have discussions with writers about their own experiences, and then it really challenges the negative perceptions that sometimes people with disabilities face. Oh yes, like there were the heights, the great actor.
Have they also found that any dramas with having people with disability cerebral palsy in that
drama? And then there was that comedy on Netflix, and all sorts of different things. Like I know the ABC is really committed to having actors with disability on screen, and I also can remember watching that recent feature film called Coda about a deaf family, and a lot of the cast were deaf and hard of hearing, so that was fantastic to see. So I think there's a real shift in the industry to have actors living with disabilities telling stories about disability, and just a real commitment to authenticity now. Yes, I do. I really do like it was really fantastic.
Do you believe it really gives authenticity when you really got someone with a disability with
some friends of mine acting rocking me
the cast role.
Is fantastic. Well, I should go back and say it's semi autobiographical, kind of based on my life, but my experiences of growing up with CP. And it was about a girl who was 11 who lived with CP, and she was getting a first wheelchair. And we cast this really fabulous actor called Emily Pryor to play Stella, and she lived with cerebral palsy. And it was really wonderful because she really took ownership of Stella, and we were able to have great discussions about what it was like growing up with cerebral palsy. And it was really wonderful because she told me that she could really relate to Stella. And it was just really great for me to see her taking ownership of that character and the kind of things we talked about. So I think authenticity is really important because recently I got some really wonderful feedback from someone who lived with cerebral palsy saying they really related to Stella and the sorts of things she was going through, and that was really fantastic. And I think that's really one of the goals in casting an actor like that.
Other people with disabilities, I believe, know how to distinguish.
I believe if you've got someone playing the real role,
that has the real disability,
it
authenticizes.
Other people with disabilities, I believe, have to distinguish whether that person really has that disability or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, disability representation, right? How do these experiences influence your work and advocacy?
I think it's just made me even more aware of the kind of position we have in being an advocate in the mainstream and wanting to do more of that sort of work. Like with the marathon, it was really wonderful because in each continent we were in, I'd come across people that had never met someone living with cerebral palsy, so I was able to have a conversation with them about what it was like, and then also just to be able to promote the sorts of work that the Cerebral Palsy Alliance does, that was really wonderful. So I think it's really influenced me in just realizing what a position I'm in to be able to advocate for people with disability and other people as well. And it's made me want to keep developing my skills and understanding of
interesting. Thank you for the sharing, Yuan.
Really?
So, yeah, good stuff. How do you envision the role of documentary filmmaking in shaping perceptions of disability and providing a more documentary filmmaking understanding of the human condition of disability and providing a more compassionate understanding of the human condition?
Well, I think, like I said before, it's such a personal medium documentary that it can really make an audience think and sit back and really reflect on what it's like. And I think just give audiences who don't have the lived experiences that we do an understanding of what it's like through documentary, because they can really see it. And it's presented to them in a way that is hopefully not too confusing, but is enough for them to digest. And I think that's really important, and it can just make an audience really think about what it's like and the sorts of challenges we have. And I think it can really strike a chord with people when they watch a documentary about someone living with a disability. Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely, definitely. I think it's more.
So you reckon,
unlike any other medium, it can really cut through
to be able to understand how
really challenge them because
live,
you know, it's right in front of them,
what challenges they come through and go through. Because a lot of people think, oh, this person can't do this, this person can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, mm-hmm. man, I'm not deaf, I'm blind.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and just go at me.
And thank you, Dave.
A lot of people think,
Adrian, could you share a memorable moment or story from your advocacy journey that has had a lasting impact on you?
Well, I think, again, just being able to participate in the 777 marathon, that still has had a lasting impact on me because I was able to travel to places that I never thought I'd be able to, like Antarctica, and also just being able to learn about what an impact fundraising can have on someone's lives. And also it just made me think about the sorts of Disabled Fozzie Alliance has had on me, and being able to promote their work and also hopefully challenge people's perceptions of what it's like to live with a disability. Because, you know, before I did the 777 marathon, I had a lot of people saying to me, are you sure you want to do this? Like, how are you going to do this? And so it was great for me to be able to prove to myself and to other people that I was able to do it. Yes, it was challenging, really challenging at times, but I did it. And also I think another impact that I've had through my advocacy journey is just being given the opportunity to have different roles. Like, I really really value having the opportunity to be a director on the board of the Disabled Fozzie Alliance and the Attitude Foundation, which is another organization like this one that really tries to show the incredible talent of people with disability in the media and challenge perceptions, and also just getting feedback on the films that I've made, like the Milky Pop Kid, Rocking Me, and hearing that it really made a difference in someone's life, seeing themselves reflected on screen. So there's been quite a few different moments throughout my journey. So,
Interesting.
I've got a question. Have you realized when people with disability act, do they pay them the same amount as someone that has no disability?
Yes, I know. Well, definitely on my films, I can only speak on my films, that was very important to us. And I know that in the film industry, they are very strict on the pay standards, that people with disabilities are paid. Mm-hmm. I know that's quite an issue in the arts industry, that artists aren't paid minimum wage. But I know that the screen industry.
So they're paid equal.
Yeah.
And thank you for that, Angela. Do I, in your view, what are the key challenges and opportunities for individuals with disabilities in the film industry, and how can these barriers be addressed?
I've been thinking about this a lot in the lead up to this interview, and I think some of the challenges people with disabilities in the industry, it's like any other industry, it's overcoming people's negative perceptions of their ability, and things like having access to traditional pathways, traditional career pathways. Like, I thought it's really challenging for people with disabilities to be doing those entry-level jobs in the industry, like a runner, where you're running around set doing different jobs for people, and just things like maybe the hours can also be quite challenging. Like, you could be doing perhaps like 16-hour days, and that could be quite challenging if you're living with something like chronic fatigue. And I also think stuff like accessing networking events, because in the industry, it's all about who you know and not so much your skills. And that's how, through networking, like any other industry, that's how you get opportunities. And I know through personal experience that sometimes networking opportunities aren't always accessible. So I think they can be addressed just by people being open-minded and aware of making things accessible, continuing to look at different pathways to support people with disabilities to get into the industry, and having those opportunities to build their skills. I also think that it's up to the person with the disability, and I know this from my own personal experience, to be proactive and just be in someone's face and go, "Hi, I'm here. I'm really capable and I really want this opportunity." So I think it's there's a lot of things that can be done to address these sorts of.
I've got a question. Wouldn't that be better if we have an agency for disability to represent us? And you've got many people with disability under this agency, and if someone needs someone with disability, they can ask the agency.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. Why not? Why not? It's a great thing to have someone advocate for you, and I think that's why it's great to have organisations like Bus Stop Films and the Attitude Foundation who do that a lot of that work. So, yeah, David, I think that's a great idea to have
I've worked with Bus Stop Films before.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, me too. Great organisation, but yeah, awesome. So Joanna, as a board member of the Cerebral Palsy Alliance, how do you contribute to advancing the rights and well-being of individuals with cerebral palsy?
Oh gosh, that's a big one. I think I just try and be the best advocate I can for people with disabilities. So that would be like making sure I'm an active member of the Cerebral Palsy Alliance and promoting things that people with disabilities have done within the community. I'm very conscious of making sure I mentor people with disabilities within the industry or just in the local community. I'm very conscious of speaking on things like this podcast, writing films that reflect the lived experience of someone with cerebral palsy, and just really trying to be a part of discussions that affect people living with cerebral palsy in a positive way, and always trying to look out for opportunities to support people who are living with disability.
Great work you're doing, Joanna. Keep up the good work. Advocacy is very important, as Joanna's online. Thank you very much. So, Joanna, what advice would you give to aspiring filmmakers and advocates who aim to use their craft to drive positive social change?
I think my advice would be to continue to develop your skills and network, because I think it's really important to be surrounded by people who support you and your craft and help you develop as a filmmaker or as a professional. And I think it's also really important to be proactive. So continue to have conversations with people that you look up to, which is something that I'm continuing to do. And also just continue to be proactive and write or create content that you think needs to be out in the world, that advocates for people with disabilities or just tells our stories. And just get out there and do it.
Good. Thank you very much. Interesting. David, Jonathan, do you add anything?
I believe that it's good what she's doing, and it's good. It's showing that people with disability can tell their own stories and make it legit and authenticizing it by actually putting their experiences in their stories.
Awesome. I mean, you, Jonathan, anything you want to add?
We need more authentic stories in the media. Fundraising is important, but it's only one dimension of the disability community.
Yeah, exactly, Jonathan. Yeah, it's really broad.
Yeah,
I agree.
How important is it to, you know, share your story and making showing authentic stories from real people with disability? I think it's the way to go.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
And you've heard it all from, you know, Joanna herself. The amazing advocate and filmmaker. Thank you, Joanna, once again for being on the show. Anything you want to add, sorry?
No, just thanks so much, Ivy and Jonathan and David, for inviting me on. I've really enjoyed chatting to you guys. Thanks for thinking.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we look forward to having you on the show in the future, Joanna.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Love the podcast.
Everyone out there. Goodbye for now.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.